It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. So nice. We do it twice. We are presented here in part two by Capital One's new CreditWise app. How about this bad boy? You got questions about your credit? You might be asking who's really in charge of my credit score. That's why Capital One created the CreditWise app, so you can check your credit score anytime you want right in the app, and it's free to everyone, Capital One customer or not. In fact, millions of CreditWise users have improved their score by 20 points or more, so download the app for free today. CreditWise availability will vary depending on ability to obtain your credit history from TransUnion. CreditWise is offered by Capital One Bank, USANA. Learn more at creditwise.capitalone.com. Part one was awesome, Evan. Of course, I'm talking with Evan Silva. For those of you that didn't hear me in part one, I guess conceivably there's people that only listen to part two. Evan is the master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com. I truly do not think that there is anybody better at what they do than Mr. Evan Silva. His breakdown of what you need to know in every game is truly impressive, truly amazing. The depth of knowledge never ceases to amaze me. It is that good. And so why don't we dive into part two here, Evan, while we can. It's the Colts and the Raiders. Colts on fire up in Minnesota on Sunday. What do you think happens in one of the first late games on Saturday afternoon, Christmas Eve, against the Raiders?
Yeah, it was really clear early in that game against Minnesota that what the Colts wanted to do. Because they gave Frank Gore the ball on like five of their first six plays. Are they going to do the same thing up in Oakland? It's possible. I think that Frank Gore is an okay start. I mean, I don't think the story has suddenly changed for him. He doesn't catch a lot of passes. He doesn't really have big play ability. He needs touchdowns to have big fantasy games. But his workload has been pretty reliable all season. I own him in a ton of spots, and he's always kind of on that fringe of players that I'm considering using as like a lower end RB2 or flex play. And I'm probably going to go with him this week in the fantasy championship. So I think he's a fine play. You know, this game has a huge total. It's got a 53-point total. That's the biggest on the week. Andrew Luck should be able to have a big fantasy game in what should be good weather. The matchup sets up beautifully for T.Y. Hilton. It does look like Moncrief is coming back. I really don't want any part of Moncrief this week. You know, he's been very touchdown or bust. He has not he's not gone over 55 yards since week one. I think that, and he's dealing with a hamstring injury that has been aggravated now a couple times. Kept him out last week, almost kept him out against the Steelers on Thanksgiving. So this is a lingering hamstring injury. I think that he could easily end up as a decoy against the Raiders while T.Y. Hilton eats. And T.Y. Hilton has the kind of skill set that could give the Raiders problems. We saw Travis Benjamin, a smaller, speedier guy, get behind them. We saw Ted Ginn have a big game against them. T.Y. Hilton sort of fits into that mold, definitely more so than Moncrief. T.Y. Hilton was a disappointment last week. I could have never seen the Colts going to Minnesota and blowing out the Vikings in that manner, to the extent where they were able to actually bench guys late in the game. That was not something that I thought was realistic to expect, and that's really what happened with T.Y. Hilton. The Colts are going to have to throw the ball this week. I mean, the Raiders are going to be able to score points on the Colts defense in the black hole. And, I mean, this is a T.Y. Hilton, another T.Y. Hilton eruption spot. One, no part of the tight ends except for maybe Jack Doyle. Jack Doyle continues to play far more than Dwayne Allen. And the Colts got Eric Swoop involved last week. He's a former basketball player. You know, it's kind of like a three-way rotation to some extent, but Jack Doyle is the lead tight end for the Colts.
What about for the Raiders in this matchup? They didn't score that many points against the Chargers on Sunday.
Yeah, and they're clearly still concerned about Derek Carr's finger, because even in goal-to-go situations last week, they still had him in the shotgun. So, you know, he's the only way that I can view him is as like a boom or bust fantasy play right now, because he's got an injury. And, I mean, the matchup is great, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't feel great about his health right now. I think that's the way that it is with Derek Carr. I love this matchup for Michael Crabtree again. You know, every single time that he's got a good matchup, he hits. That was the case again last week. Now Amari Cooper, 5 straight games, under 60 yards. You know, Amari Cooper is a great talent. He's going to pop back up for a big game, but he's very difficult to trust right now. Michael Crabtree leads the team in red zone production, touchdowns, catches, targets. So, you know, there's your reliable Raiders receiver. He's not as sexy as Amari Cooper, but he's been a better fantasy play for an extended period now.
Let's move on to the Rams and the Niners. Is there anything from a fantasy perspective to talk about in this game? Rams.
I need to mention about Latavius Murray. Last week, so the Raiders had made DeAndre Washington a healthy inactive for about 3 or 4 straight weeks, and during that time period, Latavius Murray was getting 20 plus touches every single game. I mean, he was being used as like a true featured workhorse. You remember, after early in the season, the Raiders would do this thing where they would play like 3 and 4 running backs. They would even give Jamise Olawale their fullback touches. But it seemed like they had moved past that. But last week, DeAndre Washington was active, and Latavius Murray's snaps and touches both sunk. And it certainly did not help that Latavius Murray fumbled twice. So that is going to put Latavius Murray in an interesting kind of spot this week, because we know that this is a great, great matchup. And, you know, on paper, it sets up as a game where the Raiders, it would make a lot of sense, especially if they're still concerned about their Derek Carr's finger injury, which I think that they are. It would make a lot of sense for them to give the ball to Latavius Murray like 25 times at home against the Colts and keep Andrew Luck off the field. Just something to note with DeAndre Washington coming back with the 2 fumbles, Latavius Murray, you know, we're not feeling quite as confident about his workload as we were like 2 weeks ago.
All right, good point. And that is something that needed to be brought up. What about Rams, Niners? Anything? Anybody talk about Hyde maybe?
I think that the running backs are guys that we can look at. I think that the 49ers are truly, truly not trying at all to win games. I think that they're going to make sure they lose this. So I think that Todd Gurley has a chance at a good game. The problem is I looked at his price in daily fantasy, and because he's playing the 49ers, he's priced way up. So he should be capable of having a really big game against the 49ers. I wish that he was a little bit cheaper in daily fantasy. Kaepernick ended up with a pretty good game last week. It's just this is another projected low-scoring game. Really don't want to invest in anybody here except for maybe some Carlos Hyde and some Todd Gurley.
Talk to me, Evan, about the Bucs and the Saints and what you expect from a fantasy perspective in that one.
So pretty much every quarterback, except for Russell Wilson back in week 8 or whatever it was, every quarterback that goes to the Superdome has a big game. Matthew Stafford has really not been good in fantasy this year, but he went to the Superdome and had a monster game. Trevor Siemian, multiple touchdown pass game in the Superdome. Cam Newton has been one of the biggest fantasy disappointments this year. You know, his second biggest game this year occurred at the Superdome. So production tends to get spiked when teams play at the Superdome. Jameis Winston has not been as great in fantasy recently, but I think that this game has a chance to really shoot out. And Mike Evans hasn't been great. You know, we still want to bet on these great players. Mike Evans is going to bounce back. It's been, you know, 3 disappointing weeks in a row. I really don't have any doubt that he is going to bounce back. Cameron Brait has been excellent with Mike Evans taking a back seat, and he's an every week starter in fantasy football. Doug Martin has struggled, man. I mean, 2.8 yards per carry since returning from the hamstring injury 6 weeks ago, and the Saints have been good in run defense. So it's not a good matchup, and the struggles are real. With Doug Martin, it's kind of similar to someone like Frank Gore. You know, you can rely on their usage, but they're not really – you know, they're not ripping big plays. They're not getting a lot of usage in the passing game. And you really need these guys to score a touchdown to help you on a week-to-week basis. I love Jameis this week. Love Mike Evans. Jameis at the Superdome versus Marcus Mariota at Jacksonville is something that I'm going to be debating with myself all week. I mean, I like both of them. And I think that both of them are capable of having pretty big Week 16 games.
And for the Saints?
Saw them get right against a collapsing Arizona defense last week. I think that we can go back to having confidence in these guys at the Superdome. Drew Brees, top 3 start on the week. Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks both had big games last week, particularly Brandon Cooks. I don't know what the Cardinals were thinking. I mean, he was just getting wide open against them, and then they put Patrick Peterson on him in the second half. I think that we want to bet on all these guys, even though the Buccaneers have played good defense in the second half of the season. We want to keep betting on the Saints in the Superdome. The running back situation is frustrating because Mark Ingram is clearly the Saints' best back, but Tim Hightower has a tendency to vulture all the touchdowns. And then if things go wrong in the game, Travaris Cadet ends up stealing a bunch of snaps from both of those guys. That's kind of what we're dealing with in the Saints backfield.
Okay. Well, then let's get to some more Saturday late games. There's a bunch of them. Arizona is at Seattle. Arizona put up 41 points on Sunday against the Saints. Now they're going to Seattle.
Yeah, I think that this is a great spot for the Seahawks offense and a bad one for the Cardinals offense. Want no part of Carson Palmer at the clink. The Cardinals are trying to get David Johnson records, and this is something that like Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer are on board with and supportive of. So, you know, you don't have to worry about like the Cardinals shutting down David Johnson or something like that. Like they are trying to get records for him. He's got a bunch that are still attainable, including the Cardinals' all-time franchise record for touchdowns from scrimmage. He can get that this week with another touchdown. There are a bunch of them. You can read my column on it. I'm writing about all of them. So David Johnson is good to go. You know, the matchup is bad. Oh, so he said that his main goal is to get 1,000 receiving yards. He needs 200 receiving yards in the final two games to get there. So that makes him a very exciting play in like PPR leagues in the final 2 weeks, and especially in daily fantasy. If you have a running back that can hit the 100 receiving yard bonus on DraftKings, you know, that's pretty sweet. So, the receiver. So Larry Fitzgerald has really slowed down late in the year. And I mean, he's a guy that I would consider, you know, like last week I would have played J.J. Nelson over him. And this week I think I would play J.J. Nelson over him as well. I mean, J.J. Nelson is making a big play every time, almost every time he touches the ball. He almost had two of them last week, but he dropped a pass from Carson Palmer that would have gone for like a 55-yard touchdown. So, you know, J.J. Nelson, he giveth and he taketh away, but he has big play ability, and that's something that Larry Fitzgerald lacks at this stage of the season. So I like J.J. Nelson as a start this week. I think David Johnson, you know, with him in pursuit of these NFL records is a strong start as well. Trying to break lineup decision ties away from Larry Fitzgerald and not really looking at a whole lot else here for the Cardinals offense. Definitely looking at the Seahawks defense, though.
How about Seahawks offensively? You said you like them.
Yeah, I think that they can. I think that they can really smash here. They have put up big point totals consistently in home games this year. The Cardinals' defense is falling apart. We saw them give up 48 to the Saints last week in a home game. We saw them get beat up pretty badly by Ryan Tannehill. We saw the Falcons score a bunch of points against them. So I'm really not fearing the Cardinals' defense right now. They've lost Dion Buchanan. They lost Tyvon Branch. Tyrann Mathieu has not been the same player this year. I think that Russ Wilson can heat them up this week. The Cardinals have given up 10 rushing touchdowns over their last seven games. Like that for Thomas Rawls. Thomas Rawls was a disappointment last week against the Rams. I liked him a lot. I used him in daily fantasy and in redraft, and he was disappointing. But he saw his highest touch total of the season, like 23 touches. He played 90% of the Seahawks' offensive snaps. So the usage there is bankable. And I think that the Cardinals are a declining defense late in the season. And I think that Russ and Thomas Rawls can have big games in the same game, always love to use the interior receivers against Arizona. That would be Doug Baldwin this week. Jimmy Graham was also a disappointment against the Rams. And he's actually been out-targeted by Tyler Lockett over the past 6 weeks. So, I mean, look, you know, the guy was coming back from a ruptured patellar tendon. It's possible that Jimmy Graham is slowing down, you know, late in the season. I mean, that would be, you know, more than a little bit forgivable. But I think that I'm still probably rolling with him in season-long this week. And I don't think he's a terrible daily fantasy play either, especially with Buchanan and Tyvon Branch out in the middle of the field. It's just, you know, there's unknown with players like this that are coming back from torn, ruptured patellar tendons and are now, you know, 15, 16 games into the season.
Let's get to the Saturday night game. I've been waiting all day to hear your thoughts on this one. The Bengals at the Texans. Talk to me about Tom Savage and what it means for DeAndre Hopkins and the boys.
Yeah, Tom Savage. I mean, what do you know about him? Isn't he from your neck of the woods?
Yeah, he's from Philadelphia. Very, very heavily recruited, highly touted, coming out of high school. Knew about him since he was like in 9th, 10th grade. You know, he was just one of those kids that you could just tell really early on with the way he could throw a football that he was special. Went to Rutgers because Schiano convinced him to go there somehow, and had some struggles there. I think they were actually playing like Mohamed Sanu at quarterback over him a little bit. Then he transferred to Arizona. Arizona got Rich Rodriguez, so he's like, okay, I don't really run. So he transferred to Pitt. Played 1 year of college football and had a really nice year at Pitt. But everybody that's ever seen him throw the ball says it's really, really special. He's got all the tools. It just, his college career got kind of messed up, and now he's, you know, been a backup with Houston. It's really hard as a late-round pick to get a chance until the $37 million fully guaranteed guy in front of you plays so bad that they've got no choice. And now he's got his shot in life right now, starting Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been good in the preseason, the last two preseasons, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's, you know, like you mentioned, he's a big guy, 6'4", 220. He's got a big arm. When he went in the game last week, he knew where to go. I mean, he targeted DeAndre Hopkins 15 times on 36 pass attempts. Love to see that, you know, as a DeAndre Hopkins owner. We're still dealing with a backup quarterback here, and there's certainly some risk, but, you know, some reasons for optimism really about the entire Texans offense, because, you know, one thing that Brock Osweiler was really not willing to do was take shots. And the Texans were doing that last week. I mean, they were taking shots off play action. Tom Savage hit Wendell Williams, an undrafted rookie, for a big gain down the sideline. I mean, you know, there was like an element to their offense where they were like challenging the defense, and that is awesome to see. I have no idea if it's going to happen, you know, carry over into this game. I mean, there are reasons to doubt Tom Savage, but there are also reasons, I think, to be optimistic about him. He is facing a Bengals defense that has really struggled to generate pass rush this year. He's at home. He should be comfortable. I mean, he has spent the last 3 years in Bill O'Brien's system. He was, you know, a part of Bill O'Brien's first draft class when he became the Texans head coach. And we've seen him play well in the exhibition season. So, and you know, he showed signs of kind of knowing what to do last week. So I don't think I'm going to be playing him in fantasy, but I do like the fact that right now that he is playing quarterback and not Brock Osweiler, because I think that it gives the offense a little bit more explosive potential. Lamar Miller, again, suffered another setback with his ankle last week, but it sounds like he's going to be fine, and he's going to go against the Bengals, even though he has struggled with all these injuries. Texans keep giving him a ton of touches per game, so that's something that you can count on. I think that with the return of C.J. Fedorowicz from his concussion, you know, that makes Ryan Griffin a lot less interesting right now. But I mean, you know, I think that the arrow is potentially pointing up on the Texans offense with Tom Savage at quarterback, and you can feel better about both Lamar Miller and DeAndre Hopkins' plays this week.
Bengals against a pretty tough Texans D. What do you got on the Bengals?
So AJ Green is expected back this week. He practiced all last week, and he's expected to play against the Texans. The Texans have one of the best, even after they lost Kevin Johnson, the Texans have continued to play stout pass defense. So the matchup is not great for any of the Bengals pass catchers, and the return of AJ Green, I mean, it makes Andy, you know, it helps Andy Dalton, but it's not necessarily a great thing for Tyler Eifert, and it's certainly not a good thing for Brandon LaFell or Tyler Boyd. You know, AJ Green is going to be a tough guy this week. He's missed 5 games. He's returning. He wants to go over 1,000 yards for the 6th consecutive year, and he needs, I think, 36 yards to get there. I don't think he's just going to bow out after 36 yards, but he's been out for 5 weeks with a torn hamstring, and that's a little bit scary. I mean, ultimately, I'm probably going to be starting AJ Green where I have him, but you know, there's definitely some risk there. And then the situation with Jeremy Hill is it really just doesn't change. I mean, he's going to get a million touches. The matchup is really difficult, and he's probably going to average like 2.5 yards per carry. But when he's getting, you know, 25 touches, and he has goal line duties on lock, you know, that makes him kind of difficult to get away from in fantasy, even though you know that his rushing efficiency is going to be really, really poor. So, you know, that's just kind of where we are pretty much every week with Jeremy Hill.
Let's get to the Sunday games. Let's start with the game I'll be at, Christmas Day, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. There's only 2 Sunday games. You know, the Steelers, it's weird. They're not put up that many points despite their offense and how talented they are. And the Ravens defense gave up a decent amount of rushing yards to the Eagles. So talk to me about Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and the Steelers.
So I do not think that we're going to see Jimmy Smith back for this game, the Ravens' best cornerback. I mean, that's just my guess. Midway through the week, it seemed like he had a high ankle sprain. And even if he's out there, I think that, you know, he's someone that the Steelers may just attack. I mean, attacking a cornerback with a high ankle sprain seems like something that they may be able to benefit from. In these teams' earlier season meeting, Ben Roethlisberger, this was his first game back. It was in Baltimore. First game back from that I think it was a knee injury. And he really struggled in the first half and then got it going, started moving the offense in the second half, sort of like Aaron Rodgers last week against the Bears. But, you know, it mostly happened late in the game. Eli Rodgers had a good game against the Ravens, and I think that he could again if Ladarius Green is out, which at this point I would expect Ladarius Green to be out because he's got a concussion, and he apparently was dealing with concussion-related symptoms all offseason. And before Ladarius Green came on the scene, Eli Rodgers was becoming a bigger part of the Steelers' passing offense. So I think that Eli Rogers is like a dart throw in daily fantasy is a little bit interesting this week. He had 6 for 109 when these teams played earlier this year. But I think that this ultimately is going to be a big Antonio Brown bounce back game. I think that losing Ladarius Green is just going to create more emphasis on Antonio Brown. And I think that he really blows this game up. Yeah, he had 8 for 75 and a touchdown in these teams' first meeting. And if no Jimmy Smith, I don't know how the Ravens would have any chance of containing Antonio Brown. I think he goes off.
What about for the Ravens offensively?
Ravens offensively. I have a lot of respect for the Steelers defense at this point. And I don't really think that, you know, any Ravens are great plays this week. I would say that the situation most worth talking about is the backfield, where, you know, we talked about this last week, how it could be a different guy every single week. You know, I think that some people thought that the tides had kind of turned last week when Kenneth Dixon had the big game on Monday night against New England, but he blew a blitz protection last week, caused a strip sack of Joe Flacco, and Terrence West was the lead back. And Terrence West had 17 touches, and Kenneth Dixon had like 9. So it's really not a reliable situation in fantasy football. With that said, Kenneth Dixon is the guy that I would go to against the Steelers. The Steelers have given up the third most receiving yards to opposing running backs, and I just really don't think that Terrence West is going to be able to go to Heinz Field and like run the ball between the tackles against the Steelers. So I think that this sets up best as a Kenneth Dixon game, but, you know, if he blows another pass protection, you're kind of screwed.
Let's get to the Sunday nighter. I'll be listening to this one as I drive back from Pittsburgh to my home in central PA. It is the Broncos and the Chiefs. I guess we'll start with the Broncos, man. They have really been offensively challenged. And now they're playing at Kansas City. Is there even a play for Denver offensively?
Well, wide receivers have been having big games against the Chiefs all season. And add Rishard Matthews to the list last week. He went over 100 yards. So I think that the Broncos receivers can win against the Chiefs cornerbacks. I really do believe that. We saw Emmanuel Sanders just go nuts against the Chiefs earlier this year in a game where I thought that Demaryius would be the guy. But the Broncos used Emmanuel Sanders specifically to attack Philip Gaines in that game. Now, Philip Gaines has been hurt, dealing with knee inflammation. So I don't even know if he's going to play this week. But I like both of the receivers for the Broncos. You know, it's just I really don't know how to differentiate them. I mean, one averages 9.6 targets per game. The other one averages 9.3 targets per game. Manny Sanders has been the bigger play threat. Demaryius Thomas has been a little bit more of a possession receiver this year. But, you know, Demaryius Thomas has been just as good as Emmanuel Sanders lately. So I don't know how to differentiate them, but I think that they're both – good plays. With that said, I mean, it does look like a low-scoring game. I mean, these games at Arrowhead, particularly in the second half of the season, have been consistently low-scoring. I'm not super optimistic about the Chiefs' offense against the Broncos' defense either. So I think we need to kind of lower our expectations a little bit. Justin Forsett is now the lead back for the Broncos. And, you know, I don't think he's like a great bet to have big fantasy games. But sometimes, you know, even teams that are in the fantasy finals just need guys that are going to be out there and they can, you know, give them touches on a week-to-week basis. And I think that Justin Forsett probably gets 12 to 17 touches this week. You know, nothing really stands out about his matchup or the rushing offense that the Broncos have going right now in general, but I think that he can give you some usage.
Okay. Well, then let's get to, is there anything Kansas City, so you don't really like their offense, anything specific?
I mean, Kelce had a big game against the Broncos in, I think it was week 12. Trevor Siemian actually had a really big game that week too. It's hard for me to imagine him doing that again. That game took place in Denver. This game is going to be up in Arrowhead. So Kelce had the big game. I really want no part of Macklin. Liked him last week against Tennessee. Don't ever like wide receivers against Denver. Tyreek Hill had a run play score early in the game last week and then basically wasn't heard from the rest of the game. You know, the Chiefs play this style of offense where I guess it's like their team philosophy, and hey, I mean, it works for them, but it's frustrating in fantasy because, you know, they'll grab like an early lead and then they'll just take their foot off the gas. And that's what happened last week. And Travis Kelce actually, they wound up losing because of it. Travis Kelce called out the coaching staff, and Tyreek Hill, you know, he was a missing person after the early rushing touchdown. So, those are things that we have to deal with you know, when we're trying to invest in the Chiefs' offense. I mean, Travis Kelce was on a streak of over 100 yards in four straight games. And he, you know, all of a sudden lays an egg against the Titans, you know, and it's frustrating.
Let's get to the last one, Evan. It is Monday night. Good Monday night game. It's Detroit and Dallas, the Lions and the Cowboys from Big D. Why don't we start with Detroit, where they don't have a single Pro Bowl player. Who do you like, if anybody, in this matchup for the Lions against the Cowboys?
No one really. Their best fantasy play has been Golden Tate. I mean, they're not, with the exception of that Saints game, Matthew Stafford has not thrown for more than 280 passing yards since week 3. You know, they spread the ball around. Their quarterback right now is playing through an injury. I mean, over his last six quarters, Matthew Stafford has engineered one touchdown drive and has three interceptions. Marvin Jones faded a long time ago. Eric Ebron has the best matchup among the Lions pass catchers, but he has not scored a touchdown since week 1. And, you know, the ball gets spread around. And when they're in the red zone, they're throwing to Anquan Boldin. So, and the running backs, I mean, you know, the beat writers don't even know who's going to play a running back on a week-to-week basis. You know, Theo Riddick, like, beat writers were shocked that he was out a couple of weeks ago with a wrist injury. And then he misses last week, too. And we have no idea what injury he's dealing with because the Lions, you know, they don't talk about injuries. I mean, he could be having wrist surgery for all we know. So it's a difficult situation. I think that Golden Tate is the guy that I'd be looking at maybe as a starter this week. Worth noting, Theo Riddick has missed four games this year, and Golden Tate has seen double-digit targets in all four of those games. So the outlook is elevated if Theo Riddick is out again for the Lions for Golden Tate.
And then Big D, Cowboys, going against the Lions D. Who do you have for the Cowboys?
No Darius Slay for the Lions. Looks like he's an extreme long shot to play through a hamstring injury. Like that for Dez. You know, this could be a Dez eruption game for sure. Dak Prescott, you know, kind of middle figure. The haters there against Tampa Bay completed 90% of his passes, finished as a top seven fantasy quarterback last week. You know, I mean, is it any surprise in hindsight that he struggled in road games at the Vikings and at the Giants? You know, no. This is not a great matchup for Dak, but he has been incredible at home this year. I would have no hesitation using Dak Prescott this week against the Lions. Same goes for Ezekiel Elliott, just a monster every single week. Does not matter who the Cowboys are playing. Ezekiel Elliott, you know, he's going to rip it every single week.
By the way, I should mention, Evan, I met a guy Monday night at the Redskins game, and his name's Wolf, and he's in the media in Charlottesville, young guy, went to Virginia Tech, listens to the feast every week. He gave us a shout-out because he won $750. And this kid looks like he's 24 years old, so $750, everybody could use that. So he was pumped. He's like, man, I'm so thankful. I listen every week. You guys help me win money. I said, well, hit us up on Twitter. So he gave us a shout out on Twitter after he won. Pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, no, I definitely recognize Wolf, and big congrats on his victory. That's awesome.
Yep, and remember, if you're listening, if you ever win money on fantasy, you're contractually obligated to send Evan and I half of that, just so you know. I don't know if people forgot about that or not, but you have to send us half of that when that happens. I'm kidding. Awesome stuff, as always, Evan. In fact, for those of you that maybe you're not in your fantasy team's championship, your fantasy league's championship, you should take some of Evan's knowledge that he drops and go over to betdsi.com. Use the code Tucker15 to get a free $15 and bet on whatever you want to bet on. Look, maybe you listen to the college draft podcast. You want to bet on some bowl games because of the knowledge that Fran dropped, or NBA, NHL, or maybe there's just some other prop bets based on player performance now that you feel pretty darn good about, thanks to Evan dropping some knowledge, or maybe you just want to bet on the games. Whatever it is, you can do it at betdsi.com using the code Tucker15. Give yourself a little holiday gift. Give yourself a free $15 at betdsi.com using the code Tucker15. Truly and sincerely wish everybody a happy holiday season. Those of you that celebrate Christmas, have a great Christmas. Everybody that celebrates everything else, enjoy that as well. And other than that, I'm stuffed, man. That was a lot. Part one, part two, I'm stuffed, I'm full, I'm done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
You know, there's something about TrueCar. I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while, but there's something a lot of people don't know, and is that using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So you knew about buying new cars. You can also get better deals on pre-owned cars through the TrueCar certified dealer network. The key is you'll see what other people paid for the car in your area. So if you want to know what a fair price is and feel confident when you make your purchase, that is the key to me. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. That is the way that you can go. Again, TrueCar. Some of these features, by the way, not available in all states, but it's pretty cool. I've used TrueCar to know what you're doing, to know what price you should be paying. It's really, really nice. A quick, easy buying experience. Again, check out TrueCar before you buy your new or pre-owned car.